So again, to all of our visitors and guests, welcome. It's a pleasure and honor to worship with you. Today, like as I said at the beginning of the service, is kind of a unique and special day. It's a high feast for us in the Christian church. It's the day when we celebrate all the saints, all who have lived, who have come, who have gone, who will come, and who live among us today, as we gather together to remember not just who we are, but what it lays before us. And this is the thing that's kind of interesting, because depending on what tradition, if you come out of a Christian tradition, in my experience, we seem to hear a lot about heaven, right? We hear a lot about what's next. We hear a lot about this kind of next chapter in our lives. And the reality is there's just not that much we have to go on from the scriptures. There's a lot more mystery. There's a lot more unknown in it than I think people in my position would like to admit. But for me, I find that mystery, I find that uncertainty comforting, because it gives us the freedom to continue to seek after God and to learn, to be surprised, to be delighted in the things of God. And I just think that it's so very important for us to remember that we always come as God's children, to whom God is giving us good things. That's what we're here in part to do this morning, right? To have a baptism, to welcome our newest member and the newest member of the church in just a few moments. Well, maybe more than a few moments. I just got started. But, sorry. and it's this very interesting thing, right? Because for me, at least, this idea of the resurrection, this idea of what is in store, what we hope for, is one of the hardest things for me to wrap my mind around. And if you question or doubt it or are confused by it or really wonder what this is all about, you're in good company, because I do the same thing all the time. I don't have any of this figured out. I've studied this all my life. I trust in the promise of God that says that God is continuing and has worked out and is restoring the beauty of this creation, including you and me, that we might have the opportunity to live as we were created to live, free from the pain and suffering of this kind of cycle of life and death, free from the sorrow and the need and the pain and the suffering that this life has in store for all of us in one way or another. All Saints' Day is a day to remember and to be comforted in the fact that we are not alone, that you are a part of a priesthood of all believers, of folks who don't just sit around you this morning, who don't just worship down the street or across the country or around the world. Millions of people who gather together to worship today, but we go through the history of our church back as far as we can go, and we are joined by them, their spirit, who we are, and we prepare and look forward to those who will come after us. And we are united in this kind of moment, in this timeless part of the Eucharist that we gather together for. And that's part of what we do each and every week, right? And maybe I should talk about it more often than I do. But the Eucharist, this act, this practice, this sacrament that we kind of design our worship and our liturgy, and in a lot of ways our lives as Christians around, is this timeless moment where we are joined together with everyone who has come before and who will go after us, where we eat and receive the same bread and the same wine, the same body and the same blood, and we are remembered and we remember and we are restored in the midst of it. And I don't know how it all works. I wish I could explain it all to everyone, but the reality is I have and I continue to go through this life, and I question and I wonder. I'm confused about things, and I figure out new things, and I come up with new questions, and all along in this walk, right? And that's what I really believe the Christian life is. It's not this thing that is kind of done, right? We aren't baptized, and like that's all there is. The baptism is reminding us that we are a part of something bigger than ourselves, reminding us that we always belong in God's kingdom. We will always be God's children, no matter what. The prayer book in our tradition says the bond that God establishes with us in our baptism is indissoluble. There is nothing you can do or not do that could separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. That's who we are. That's what we believe. There is nothing else to do in order for God to love us, in order for God to accept us, in order for us to be wanted, to be lovable, to be forgivable. The Christian life is not about earning something. It's not about doing all the right things. It's about learning and getting more comfortable with God's love and grace for us and allowing our response in that love, as we have learned to love, as we have learned to be forgiven, to go out and do the same and share the rest with others. And I'm convinced that's the only thing we really have in this world to offer, right? Like, you look through history, how many times have we repeated all the same mistakes and all the same difficulties? Look at our country currently and just the divisions and the struggle that we have. We have an election in 2 days, right? And I'm not going to go into politics today, I promise. A lot of my colleagues will. I just can't bring myself to do it because I don't think, because our politics is something of this world, right? And we participate in it, and we need to be responsible for it, and we need to take ownership of it. And I do, please, I encourage you all to participate in it this week if you are of age and able. But I'm not going to stand here and tell you who to vote for or what to do. What I am going to tell you is that at the underpinning of all that we do is a call to love, is a call to learn to be more comfortable loving ourselves so that we know how to love others. And however that love and that response to that love comes out in you and me in this world, I am going to trust that God is working that out with you in His Spirit. It's tempting to stand here and to feel self-righteous and to feel like I know all the answers and to be like, here, let me just tell you what you need to know. But I can't do that. I spent a number of years of my life feeling like that was my job. And it's a very humbling experience when you realize what a mistake it is. God is so excited about you. All the stuff that we talk about, that we practice at this table, at this font, in our daily lives, in the call to prayer and to read the scriptures, to learn, read, and inwardly digest the things of God, in the way in which we love and serve our neighbors, all of that stuff, we're all going to work that out differently. I encourage you, I implore you to engage it. Whether you're a Christian or not, whether you're a believer, I don't know where you all are, but know that you're welcome here. Know that you don't have to get to some point of understanding or belief before you belong here. This is a place where you belong. And if you want to be here, if you want to be a part of this thing that we are doing, you are welcome to do that. That is all that is required. If you haven't been baptized and you want to know more about that, come talk to me. If you haven't ever received communion at the rail, come receive. Everything that we believe is in our prayers, is in our liturgy today. Listen to it. And if that is something that you respond to, if that is something you want to engage, you are welcome and invited to do so. For all of our guests, whatever your tradition, whatever your age, whatever your background, you are invited to our table. Because it's not my table, and it's not my place to give or to take away. It is God's table given for all of us. And I believe at this place we find healing, and I believe we find new life. I believe we start to get glimpses and tastes of that hope of this next thing that is to come that I really wish I could just lay out for you in the way that I so often see it in books and in articles and in other things. I think it's probably going to be a little more complicated than this just like paradise where everything is just great all the time. I don't think it's quite going to be that. So, like, you know, I want to temper your expectations. Heaven is a place, the next life is a place where we will interact with each other. And I don't think our differences will make that any easier in the next life. But I do think that our insecurities that will fall away in God's grace will give us the freedom to really start to see each other in the way that God sees you and me today. In the way that God, I think, desperately wants us to be able to learn to see ourselves and to see one another. So I encourage you this, I guess I should have probably talked. Well, it's All Saints Day, so it's appropriate to talk about the day and the occasion. But this passage that we read throughout the year, but it, is the reading for All Saints Day this year is this passage of the raising of Lazarus, right? This is one of the most notable parts of Scripture where there is a resurrection, where someone is brought back. And I'll kind of finish with this, is that I truly believe that Jesus did not intend to raise Lazarus from the dead when he showed up. In some ways, I almost wonder if it's kind of cruel, right, to have to go through that entire experience and then to wake up and be like, wait a second, I have to do this again? Like, hold on a second. I think the way in which God interacts with us, and I think this helps me in understanding the awful and tragic things that happen in this world, like that happened in our city just last week and that continue to happen around the world. You know, we wrestle within ourselves with this, like, how does God allow this thing to happen? Why, God, if you had been here, did my brother wouldn't have died? The skepticism of Mary and Martha's friends, who are like, you know, if this guy could make someone that was blind see, couldn't he have done something about this illness? It's in the midst of that questioning, that frustration, that anger, that I think our God came and was overwhelmed. This Jesus wept, right? This very famous, like, shortest verse in the Bible, that Jesus wept. He was overcome with the love that he has for Lazarus, for his friends, for his loved ones. The same love that he has for you and me. And he was overwhelmed. And his response was to bring new life into that situation. This is a glimpse of what God offers to all of us. I don't know what it will look like. It probably will not look like us coming out of a cave with our hands tied and our head covered. Unless our traditions change a lot in the next couple decades. But this sense of it is still the same, right? And I want to draw this out, that Jesus says, Lazarus, come out, right? Even in the midst of their unbelief, right? Martha says, you can't do this. It's going to stink. He's been dead 4 days. You don't want to open this tomb up, right? And he's like, just do it. And he calls Lazarus, who comes out. But notice he comes out alive, but he comes out bound, right? And what does he say? He says, go and untie him. This business of life, death, and resurrection, it's not something we do alone. I know that's the way we talk about it and the way we experience it in some ways, but the unbinding, the undoing, the new life that we experience both while we're alive and in life to come, it is a participatory thing. It is something that we join and support each other in. It is something that God invites us to share with one another, that we might live, that we might know life, and that we might be transformed. So again, welcome. I'm glad you're here. Whatever brought you here, I'm thankful that I have the opportunity, we have the opportunity to worship together. Whether you're here for just today or for the rest of your lives, who we are is changed and is evolving because you're here and a part of it. So thank you. Know that God loves you and is so excited about you and to get to know you better and to spend life with you. So if there is anything in you that feels like, oh, God just couldn't quite love me, or there's just that thing where I'm not quite there yet, you know, maybe just a little bit more and then I'll be lovable, just put that out of your mind. You're okay. And God loves you as you are and welcomes you into his kingdom. And I have the honor and privilege to exist there with you. So thank you. Amen.